We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Just want to remind everyone, a little delay. Apologize for that, as President-elect Biden gave his holiday message to the community and the country. I hope you had an opportunity to see it, as he talked about how we need to come together united as a country to address the coronavirus. How unfortunately there were 160,000 new cases in the United States alone yesterday, and how it very unfortunately we will probably approach 2,000 deaths soon as a country on a daily basis. And what we need to do as we begin this holiday season in a spirit of working together as Americans to address what is, of course, the issue of our time, the global pandemic associated with the coronavirus. Joined today by Karen Gambino. I thank Karen for being here from Deaf Access Services, who provide the American Sign Language. And, of course, Dr. Gil Burstein will be with us soon as we go through some data with regards to the COVID-19 outbreak in Erie County. We have some more information to share, including newer information we haven't talked about in some time. Just a brief summary, there's 22,302 total positive cases through November 23rd. 37% of those cases have been recorded this month. 771 people have died as of November 23rd. There were 316 individuals admitted to Western New York hospitals, and 264 of them were in Erie County for COVID-19. Those are the highest recorded totals ever to date for COVID-19 patients in both Western New York and Erie County hospitals. Of the 264 patients in Erie County hospitals, 50 were in the ICU and 27 had an airway assist. Case report for November 23rd, which of course came out yesterday, the 24th, there were 639 new cases on November 23rd, with a daily positivity rate of 7.9%. After doing some further digging, we determined that in the past week alone, that for some of the zip codes, about a quarter to one third of the cases are all individuals who reside in the same household, but these are not nursing home cases. These are general community spread of maybe a parent giving it to a spouse and then also giving it to children. In most towns, new cases are not being driven by nursing home patients. So we wanted to put that out there because there seems to be a lot of people saying, hey, it's nursing homes that are doing this, and it's not. It's just general community spread. Hospitals are preparing for a surge in patients, and they're very worried about staff capability and capacity. Dr. Burstein and I were on a phone call earlier today with the hospital CEOs, and they agreed that we have not seen the peak yet. It's going to be some time before we see a peak in hospitalizations, and they are very worried about their full capacity, not just with regards to beds, but with staff capabilities of being able to meet the needs of the greater community. You'll see this continued growth. Thankfully, the ICUs have not grown at the same percentage rate as the new cases, but we have unfortunately seen more people in the ICU lately than we had in the last couple months. We've had some deaths, unfortunately, in the last few days in hospitals. This does not include deaths in nursing homes, and I do know there were deaths in nursing homes as well. And of the most recent date, November 23rd, 41% of all patients were 64 and under. And then you see this chart, which shows the Erie County COVID hospitalizations from March to the present. And there is a, of course, a big jump in the last 2 weeks. That is that bar that's going straight up, and it is now the highest amount of patients we've had in a hospital for COVID-19 since the pandemic began in Erie County. Positivity rates, these are just a snapshot of the past week and the areas that had some of the highest positivity rates. Amherst UB is a little outlier because we only have 14 cases out of 38 tests, though we know there were more tests that were performed by New York State. We just don't get those negative results. But Eden had some high numbers, though some of those are attributable to nursing homes. But in the next set of towns, Irving, also including Brandt, Wales, Holland, North Collins, some exceptionally high rates for the rural areas. Hamburg, the Lakeview area, very high rate, almost 10%. Boston, Lackawanna, Derby, Cheektowaga, Lancaster, Marilla, Black Rock Riverside, Hamburg, all over 9% of the cases and tests that were reported for residents in those zip codes that you see, all tested over 9% positive. So we have some significant concerns about certain areas of the county. And here's some interesting data that we haven't shown in a while, but we think it's very, very interesting as it pertains for the most recent week. 72% of all the new cases came from outside the city of Buffalo. So the two cities of Tonawanda, Lackawanna, all the towns and the villages contained therein had 72% of the cases. City of Buffalo, 66% of the cases, 33% of the cases came from the city of Buffalo, which is very close to the population. It's not exactly what we were seeing earlier when the proportion of the cases were primarily coming from city of Buffalo. And when you look at the positivity rate, this is striking, though it's not surprising to us as we've looked at the data, that the suburbs and the rural areas are doing worse as a percentage of positives than the city of Buffalo residents are. City of Buffalo residents, for the 17,498 tests administered last week, tested positive 6.6% of the time, as compared to outside the city of Buffalo, which was 29,135 tests at 7.9%. So we are seeing what we've been talking about, growth in the suburbs and in the rural areas, and the areas in the city of Buffalo are actually doing better. And there are some parts of the city of Buffalo that are doing much better than other parts of the city of Buffalo. So as we saw early on, we were seeing a lot of new cases coming from the city of Buffalo. Now it's kind of reversed, where we're seeing more cases coming as a percentage of all the overall positives from outside the city of Buffalo. And we, as we talked about, some of the suburbs and rural areas have some very high positivity numbers. So that should be concerning to any of those areas. Age and gender for fatalities. We wanted to show this because these are showing the total fatalities. There are still more females that have died from COVID-19 than males, and a lot of this has to do with the 80 and over age category, because in every age category other than under 40, males have more than deaths than females. Except, of course, in the 80 and older category, we believe a lot of this has to do with just more women living longer than men to begin with. We had 771 deaths so far through November 23rd, and you can see on the screen that 407 of them were female, 364 were male. When we talk about race and ethnicity, we have seen this data chart for a while now. The percentage of fatalities is very close to the actual race and ethnicity breakdown for Erie County residents. Whites make up 80.6% of the population, and they've made up 81.6% of the fatalities. African Americans make up 14.6% of the population, and they've made up 15.7% of the fatalities. We're doing a lot better than other areas of the country in which there's a disconnect between race and ethnicity. Latinos are actually coming in at a lower death rate than the actual percentage of Erie County's population. So we've worked very hard with our partners to ensure that we're getting appropriate care across the county. And this shows us that in some ways we're doing that, because we're not seeing any major discrepancies based on race and ethnicity. I'll turn it over to Dr. Burstein to talk a little bit about some of the projections from the University of Buffalo Medical School and some of the other numbers. We are very worried about the upcoming future, especially starting with Thanksgiving. Where did I put my mask? Okay, it is right here. So, Dr. Burstein.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. So I'm going to talk about today is a model to predict what we might see in the hospitals in terms of hospital admissions. And this model is being, this work is being led by Peter Winkelstein at the Jacobs School of Medicine. So this is a graph looking at the hospital, the predicted and actual hospital census without any lockdowns. So the along the y-axis are the hospitalizations, the number of people in the hospital, and along the x-axis are dates. The blue dots corresponds to the hospital census at any point in time. And then the yellow line corresponds to what we're what Dr. Winkelstein and his group is predicting with their model that they will see with hospital admissions. So this is a model looking at what we would expect to see in terms of hospital admissions if we have no intervention to curtail our behaviors. So if we have no lockdowns like we did in the spring, and we just keep going about as we're doing now, this is what we can expect to see. It's an exponential growth in the number of hospital admissions, and it could far surpass what our capacity is in our Erie County hospitals. This is very, very dangerous. So this is a similar graph looking at what the Dr. Winkelstein's model predicts if we do have some type of intervention with a lockdown, either a partial lockdown, which we might call the what we're seeing in the restrictions in an orange zone, or a fuller lockdown of non-essential services closed, as Dr. Winkelstein calls the replicating the repeating prior lockdown. And so you can see that in this example, we know that our orange zone restrictions started on November 20th. So, and that is the vertical line that is being drawn in the middle of the graph. So you can see that when the orange zone restrictions start on November 20th, eventually the hospital admissions do start to come down. And they would come down even further if we have more of a lockdown, if more non-essential businesses were closed, as would happen in the red zone. However, the bad news is that, you know, it's going to take a while for us to see the effects in the hospital. So, you know, initially, when we see the closure of non-essential businesses and less people gathering, we'll see less people infected. And so that'll take a little while to see the number of people with new infections decrease. And then it'll even take a little bit longer while, another week or so, to see the number of hospital admissions decrease. Because first we see an intervention. Then we a week or two later, we see change in the numbers of people infected. And then maybe a week or two after that, we'll see changes in the hospitalization. So what Dr. Winkelstein's model predicts is if we do have some type of intervention, we're hoping with the orange zone restrictions that we will see a decrease in number of cases and also a decrease in hospitalizations. And then if we have even a further lockdown with the red zone, then we'll have even more decrease in numbers of cases and then even more decreases in hospitalizations eventually. So again, this is just a prediction, and we'll have to see what happens as we are in our orange zone still. So let's talk about testing. So the Erie County Health Department does offer COVID-19 testing. We do have criteria now. We are testing either people who are identified as close contacts, so those individuals should already be in quarantine, or people who have symptoms. And you would do a call the same number, 858-2929, to schedule an appointment. Remember, this is free. There's no insurance. There's no laboratory requisition or physician's order. All you need is an appointment and to show up at the right place at the right time where the schedule tells you to show up. So we can talk about Erie County Response. Last night, I was on a call with the hospital's chief medical officers, and they were all reporting to me that their emergency departments are very, very busy. And they also wanted me to emphasize that the emergency departments are safe. They are safe to go to for healthcare. But however, since they are busy, we still run the risk of a large number of people, having people have to wait for a long time, although hopefully they'll be able to wait in their cars. So to avoid all this, all the hospital systems actually have a virtual emergency department. So the website for all of these are on this slide. So instead of physically going to the emergency department, if you're not critically ill, if you don't think that you need to be in place to get like oxygen or IV fluids or, you know, some type of medication in the hospital, if you think you're okay just to be able to talk to a healthcare provider and do, you know, some type of a remote exam, then you should download these links and you can have a virtual visit with a great emergency medicine provider. So remember, we are seeing very, very high numbers of COVID-19. So we know a lot of people now who are infected are symptomatic. And so we are asking people, if you feel sick, stay at home. And so what do you mean by sick? I mean, it could be anything that's not a normal symptom. So if you have a new cough, a new fever, a new runny nose, new diarrhea, new vomiting, new muscle aches, new fatigue, something that is very specific to what we're seeing with COVID-19 is people are losing their sense of smell, their sense of taste. That's because the virus infects the central nervous system. If you have any of these symptoms, anything abnormal in your body, stay at home and stay away from other people in your home, because staying away from other people will help keep those people in your life that you love healthy and not getting infected. And you can call Erie County Health Department, or you can go to our COVID-19 website and look at our COVID-19 test site and find a place near you where you can get tested to know what your diagnosis is. So I'm going to turn it over to our county executive to talk about our microcluster strategy.
Thank you, Doctor. I think we all know there are no changes to the cluster zone as of the governor's press conference, and there will not be probably for a few days at least. New York State is still worried about the region and the growth of cases, communications with a number of the governor's staff yesterday. And I know that they are still concerned, though I think we all are a little bit at least feeling somewhat better about what appears to be the positivity rate leveling until at least we got yesterday's data. We'll wait and see if it's a one-day spike or not. But we had seen some dropping in the positivity rate for a few days in a row, and then of course yesterday went up to almost 8%. But as of right now, there have been no changes, and New York State will continue to discuss this with my office and the New York and our Erie County Department of Health. These are of course the rules with regards to the orange and yellow zones and the red. We want to avoid the red at all costs because it's bad. Just a little update for those barbershops, beauticians, and other personal care services that may have a retail component, like selling shampoos and the like. You are allowed to have sales of your retail component. You may not have your personal care service that you provide, so if you cut hair, you can't cut hair. But if you have a whole row of shampoos, conditioners, hair care products, and the like, you are allowed to sell those like any other retail establishment. So you can do that, and that is some way of at least ensuring that there's some revenue coming into these entities. And you can do that even in the orange zone. I'll talk a little bit about the Back to Business program. The grants will be awarded next week, so pay attention. Come back next week. We're going to announce more than 1,000 grants next week to area businesses that applied for our Back to Business grant program. And we know that this will be a very much needed for some of these businesses. The Shop 716 e-gift card, there's a special that's running for the buy one $50 or more gift card and get a free $50 gift card. That's in addition to our traditional $25 and then get a free $25 one. So we want everyone to, today through Sunday, if you buy a gift card at $50, you get a free one. And until December 12th or when supplies run out, if you buy one for $25, you get a bonus $25 one. So far, we have 400 participating businesses, and you can apply for purchasing. You can actually purchase the gift card online and do shop with some of the businesses as well. Go to amherst.org/shop716. So we want people to take advantage of the Shop 716 e-gift card. And we know a lot of people have already made purchases. So far, over 7,200 cards have been purchased and $204,000 worth of gift cards. And I also know that there are, I think it was $35,000 or so has already been turned into the retailers for purchases. So thank you for buying the gift cards, and we're still selling them. An update on the LiveWell Erie CARES Act Rental and Mortgage Assistance Program. The deadline for applications was November 15th, and 4,447 applications were filed. 90% of them, 3,980, were for rental assistance, 463 were for mortgage assistance. 211, our partner, is sending email and text messages to applicants to please provide your missing verification documents. If you do not provide your verification documents, you cannot receive assistance from the program. So I want to commend the City of Buffalo and Mayor Brown, because they've been using many of the Buffalo community centers, are assisting households with completing the application. Just applying for it was not enough. You still have to provide verification with regards to where you live, your rent, if you do have a job, what your job is, if you've lost your job. So you must complete the application to receive assistance. So please, if you have applied but you have not completed your application, you must do so, and you must do so soon, because we've already started distributing some of the funds associated with this program, and we want to distribute more, but we cannot do it until the applications are fully in. So work with 211, work with the City of Buffalo Community Centers to complete your application so that we can then verify it, and if you qualify, help defray the costs associated with your back rent or mortgage that's due. Before we open up for questions, I just want to say that tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for as a community, and the goal of all of us is to get through this pandemic as best as we possibly can. We know that we're going to be dealing with this for some time in the near future. Even when a vaccine is available, it'll still take some time to distribute the vaccine to the greater community. So to each and every one of you at home, I want to thank you all for working hard to create the best community that we can be by protecting your brothers and sisters, our neighbors, by being their keeper, by following the rules, by doing what's best for the greater good. That's what this is about. It's about promotion of the greater community and the greater good. The actions that are taken by Erie County, whether it's through the Department of Health or other agencies, are to protect and save as many lives as possible. We are very thankful for the healthcare heroes that are out there, the men and women of our area hospitals, our urgent carers, the doctor's offices, and of course our Erie County Department of Health, for the work that they've done this past year. They are the true heroes. And the last thing we need is for them to be inundated again with patients, to basically have every bed in a hospital full and people dying because they can't get the level of care they need because there are so many patients flooding our hospitals. That is happening right now in the United States and many other states. It is very sad to see what's happening in other parts of the country. We don't want to do that. So please, be your brothers and sisters' keeper. For this Thanksgiving, keep your Thanksgiving to your immediate family so that next year, when we have Thanksgiving in 2021, we can all come together and say we together did what was necessary to survive the global pandemic of 2020. And if we do that, I know we will all be better for it, and many more people will be saved because of it. With that, I'll open it up to questions from the media. I think we started at the top, which was the W's last time, so we'll start at the bottom, which is B News with Ethan Powers. Are you there, Ethan?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking questions. Question for Dr. Burstein today. I know the county has discussed at length the difficulty that contact tracers are facing in keeping up with the record surge in cases. It's a problem that seems to be a national one. On Monday, the CDC released guidance that called on health departments to focus contact tracing efforts on people who had tested positive within the past 6 days. Does this new guidance lessen the burden at all on the county's contact tracers? Might it speed up the process somewhat, or was the county already focusing on infections occurring in the last 6 days?
Well, we are doing our best to be able to get to people as soon as possible. So our goal is to definitely get to them before the 6 days. So that is still our goal. We have energized the number of contact tracers. Right now we have 75 people working in contact tracing, and so we are going to be able to get to a higher number of people every day. What we're also doing is we have a separate staff that we are working with to notify every single person in Erie County who has a positive test. Even though if they get tested by a commercial lab, a lab that is not run by Erie County, they'll get that test result from their healthcare provider. Although we want to make sure that definitely that they are alerted to with their positive test result, and that also that they understand that they need to be in isolation, and they're just briefly explained what isolation is, what they need to do, and that they need to also notify their close contacts that they should be in quarantine because they've been exposed, and giving them information that a contact tracer will be contacting them in the next couple of days. So actually, we're doing kind of a two-pronged approach. First of all, reaching out to those people that test positive and just making sure that they're aware, making sure that they're putting themselves in isolation. And then the second phase is we have a contact tracer, contact them one or two or maybe 3 days later, and then complete the investigation and making sure that we get the names of all their close contacts and put them in quarantine. So, we started doing that this week, and we'll see how that goes. We're assessing that through our quality measures, and we all see if we need to change anything that we're doing. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much.
Next question goes to WBEN, Michael Baggerman.
Hi, Mark. This is in regards to the Orchard Park gym that has been the center of national discussion now. And I understand that the Erie County Health Department has a very tough job to try to enforce all of the rules. Do you believe that New York State needs to modify its rules so that enforcement is more fair, given that gyms haven't been identified as a primary source of the rising numbers?
Well, one of the things that when people have been asking why barbershops, beauty parlors, gyms, they are considered at a higher risk of transmission. We do know that there have been cases of individuals in gyms. We do know that there have been cases of individuals in barbershops and beauty parlors. We also understand that community spread is the primary driver. And when you have community spread, you want to take the ones that are highest risk of further transmission and limiting those. That's what New York State has done. I mean, we relay the data to New York State. They're aware of the data here in Erie County. I can't talk about what's happening in Chemung County or Albany County or Columbia County. I only know what's happening here in Erie County. So I have to rely that New York State is making a decision based on what they believe is in the best interest of all New Yorkers based on all of the data that they've received. So we're giving them the data for Erie County. We know that the vast majority of new cases are community spread and that there are higher risk entities. And those would be the ones that were identified to have to close in the orange zone. But if we get to the red zone, which we haven't, and I think we should all be grateful we haven't, we should be thankful for that for this Thanksgiving, because it would have been a complete, pretty much shutdown for the whole region. So let's keep on doing what we've been doing to keep our contact low with other individuals so the transmission rate continues to flatten and hopefully go downwards. WBFO, Michael Mroziak.
Good afternoon, Mark, and happy Thanksgiving. Earlier today, Governor Cuomo, when asked about the Erie County numbers, indicated that, well, they'll give it a few more days, so that perhaps by this time next week, we'll see how the numbers are after the Thanksgiving holiday. With the numbers where they are now, in theory, we should be in red. Are you sensing the governor's at least trying to give local businesses an opportunity to get maybe some Black Friday sales in before they might act and send us red?
I don't think this is based on the economics. I think this is based solely on the public health aspect of it. One of the things that we noticed as a result of looking at the data on a zip code basis is that some of the biggest areas of concern just a month ago, like the parts of the city of Buffalo, 14215, 14206, 207, have some of the lower infection rates per 100,000 now. So the information that we were getting out to the public, we have to reduce these numbers and these zip codes, seems to have worked. Unfortunately, now it's in other parts of the county. So we have seen in a good portion of the Erie County growth. There's no doubt about it. We're really interested to see that the city of Buffalo residents seem to be doing better than the residents outside of the city of Buffalo, which is completely opposite what it was for a good portion of the year. So I know the state is trying to avoid red zones, just like we are trying, hoping they avoid red zones. Seeing that plateauing of the infection or positivity rate for a number of days. It wasn't necessarily making me feel great, but it made me feel better that we weren't continuing to see that positivity rate just skyrocket. Yesterday's numbers were not great. I will be the first to admit that, with a 7.9% positivity rate. But I do believe the state wants to give us an opportunity to kind of dig us out of our own hole. Remember, this is because of issues associated with the greater community. We can't blame anyone else and say, oh, the people who came in from Cayuga County are the result of it. This is because of general community spread in Erie County. So it's up to us, the residents of Erie County, to basically find a way to get out of it. And I think they're doing that and giving us that opportunity. The Buffalo News, Sandra Tan, Aaron Besseker.
Hi, Mark. In regard to the hospital capacity and the winter plan that the governor is referring to, we've spoken with Dr. Winkelstein and others who said that they are cautiously optimistic that with the orange zone in place, that after this next 10-day, two-week period, there could be a leveling off of hospitalizations and even a decline. If the governor is looking at a new winter plan that doesn't just take into account the percent positivity rate, but also takes into account hospitalizations, do you feel like there's more breathing room for this community and for businesses, that there might not be an eventual shutdown coming in the near future?
Well, it's in our hands, Sandra. It's, as I just said, it's in all within our control. If we can reduce the continued community spread, less people will get infected, and then if less people are infected, there'll be less need for hospitalizations. We do know, because we saw it in the spring, that the number of hospitalizations actually started to plateau and then drop because of the lockdown that was in effect. Nobody wants to go back to that full lockdown. I do believe that there is going to be growth over the next two-week period. We anticipate that the number we talked about today in Erie County, 264 cases in hospitals as of the 23rd, is going to be surpassed when we release tomorrow's data, and will be surpassed when we release the data after that and after that. The question is, what happens basically 10 days after Thanksgiving? Because we've continued to have this growth in so many new cases, and we know there's a certain percentage of them that are going to have to require hospitalization. The issue is, do we as a community act in such a way tomorrow that we put more people at risk of getting infected by COVID-19, and therefore more people at risk of being hospitalized 7 to 10 days after they've been infected? Usually, as we've said all before, the cases come first, then the hospitalizations, then the deaths. So if we can, as a community, say, I want to see my Aunt Jenny, but I know my Aunt Jenny's at risk if I have COVID-19, because Aunt Jenny, while I love her, is elderly and bakes a great pie, but I don't want to do something that's going to put her at risk, so I'm staying home this year. So if people do that, if they stay home and they stay within their immediate family, I think we have a much better chance of getting through, and as Dr. Winkelstein's data showed, seeing that hospitalization bar in line drop. If people go about their business as if nothing has changed, then we know the number is going to continue to rise. So it's really within the hands of the public. And if they do the right thing and act in the greater good of the community rather than their own needs, I think we'll be better for it. We'll move on to Spectrum News.
Ryan. Hey, Mark, can I ask a question? This is Aaron from the News.
Okay, Aaron, go ahead.
Sorry, thanks. I just wanted to see if you could take us into the discussions at all, maybe give us some insight as to how close maybe this was to happening, or and what your recommendation was, and was there a push from people to go to the red zone? Were the other officials advocating that, or how did the decision ultimately come down today?
Well, the final decision is in the governor's hands, working with the New York State Department of Health based on the information that we provide them. And our Erie County Department of Health has been communicating case information with the New York State Department of Health on many different avenues, not just particulars associated with cases, but the other things we're seeing with regards to hospitalizations and contact tracing and the like. My office has been involved in communications. I've been involved in communications. I think the general concern always has been is that when we talk about the orange zone and a red zone, we're talking about a very large area, and these microclusters are really meant for smaller areas, and we're talking about a large area. The county of Erie geographically is the same size as the state of Rhode Island, and we have hundreds of thousands of individuals that would be affected by it. So in the end, if we had continued to see, Aaron, the increased growth throughout all of last week and the positivity rate, I think there's a much greater chance we would have gone red. But because we've seen a leveling off of that until at least yesterday, that's a concern. So now if we go through, let's say, another week's worth of data, we get data and here we are next Wednesday talking about it, and if the positivity rate is still the same or it's gone down, I certainly think there's a much less chance of going red. If the positivity rate for the average of the next 7 days is 9%, well, then all bets are off. I think we have to look at it that way. Are we doing a better job of managing the infection rate as it pertains to the greater community? And if we do that, I think we'll avoid the red. If we don't, we're going to be dealing with this potentially in a worse situation going forward. It's very similar to what I talked about 2 days ago, how there was that glimmer of hope. We saw a flattening of the positivity rate. And that is a key aspect that the state is looking at. And it's a key aspect we look at every day. Spectrum News, Ryan Whalen.
Hey, Mark. Multi-parted, but it's all in relation to the fine levied against Athletes Unleashed. The $15,000 fine, first of all, is that a harsher penalty than other businesses have seen? And if so, why? Also, today, the county legislature minority drafted a resolution waiving that fine. Do they have the authority to do that? And finally, the owner of the business says he's opening his door on Monday and he is not paying the fine. What happens then?
Well, I'm not going to go into the particulars associated with the decision-making behind it because, truthfully, it was in the Department of Health's hands as well as our Department of Law and communicating with New York State. The legislature, I do not believe, has the power to waive any type of fine at this point without the request coming from the administration. And with regards to the owner claiming that he's going to open up the doors on Monday, I would just suggest to him, I don't believe it's in his best interest to do that, not just because of Erie County and whether we'd fine him again or get a shutdown order, but I don't believe his insurance would cover him. He's putting at risk his filing. I understand Athletes Unleashed is a corporation that's incorporated in New York State. And then he puts himself at risk of potentially saying, I'm going to be liable not just in a civil but potential criminal penalties for failing to follow the laws of New York State. So at this point, I would just recommend to the owner that if you open, you put yourself at risk. If you have an injury there, your insurance company is never going to cover you because you are operating illegally during a time of shutdown under a global pandemic. So if somebody goes there and hurts themselves, I do not believe the insurance company would cover that individual. And I do know that this is a corporation that's incorporated by the state of New York, so they are subject to the rules and laws of the state of New York. And I would hope that the owner would understand that this is not pointing the finger at gyms per se, it's to try to protect the public's health. We are doing this for the greater community's good. And I would hope in the long run that responsible businesses would understand it's more important to protect the public than to say, I'm going to open. Because if you're not open, your clients, your customers can't expose themselves to other people and run the risk of catching COVID-19. If you're open, you're saying that, come on in, you might get COVID-19, but that's okay because I'm open, so that's not good for all of us. I just hope that in the end, the owner understands that this is being done to protect the general public. We have the full support of New York State, and I do know that we want every business owner to understand that our goal is to protect the general public, not shut any business down. Next question to WGRZ, Channel 2. I think we have Claudine Ewing and Kelly Dudzik. Anybody there from Channel 2?
Hi, it's Kelly. Is there any way to get more specific information about where the cases are coming from the contact tracers? We have sister stations and from their county health departments, they've gotten specific numbers showing this many cases from this place of business, this many cases from this nursing home, without revealing who the patients are or, I guess, violating HIPAA policies.
Well, when it comes to nursing homes, if they go above a certain data point, we will release that. I think it's 5% of all beds. We have been doing that, and we just released yesterday, I think, the most recent nursing home data. So that was released yesterday. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. When I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. There, based on the number of cases in our community, there are cases in every town, city, village. If you go into an establishment, a store, and there's a couple hundred people in there, I guarantee you there's somebody in there that's got COVID-19. They may not know it. They may be asymptomatic. Or worse, they may be symptomatic and they're still going out there and shopping or working. It's everywhere. Some of the smaller counties, if they've getting 50 cases a day, it's a lot easier for them. We had over 600 cases yesterday. We've had 3,000 plus cases in that 1 week. It is everywhere. And if you're looking to say, well, here's where it's coming from, there's no one place. As we said, we can look at the data and see nursing home cases as compared to the remainder in the towns. And in Hamburg and Lancaster and some of these towns that have big numbers, it's not being driven by nursing homes. It's being driven by community spread, by individuals catching it from other people and taking it home and infecting their family member. So I want to let everybody remind them, if we had something that was like, okay, we know it's this nursing home and that's it, we could handle that and say, we've got it covered, everyone else can go about their business, it's fine. But it's not fine because it's everywhere. WIVB Channel 4, Marley Tuskus or Dan Telvok? Anybody there from Channel 4?
So I wanted to ask, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so I just have two quick questions. So in regards to Athletes Unleashed, what is your reaction to the fact that the county comptroller has set up a GoFundMe to help following this fine? And then in regard to Black Friday shopping, how do you guys plan on enforcing that big box stores or the malls or even just, you know, the local owned businesses are keeping up with capacity rules and social distancing rules?
Well, starting with Black Friday, we will have sanitarians out. They will be monitoring going into establishments, large big box stores. And if we see the areas of concern, we will hold those companies accountable, including up to the point of shutting them down if they appear to be a public health risk. So we are going to do that. We will have sanitarians out all day on Friday. In regards to the county comptroller, I'm very disappointed that a fellow county official would basically be thumbing his nose to science. I don't know why, but the county comptroller is acting in such a manner that is above and beyond the capacity of the county comptroller's office. I know what the capacity of the county comptroller's office is because I was the county comptroller. As I said yesterday with regard, or Monday, did a press conference, Zoom video conference with other county executives, Democrats and Republicans. We're all on board. We have to do what's right for our greater community. We're uniting to protect our greater community. I understand that not everyone agrees with it, but when you're in a position as a public official, we have to basically work together to protect the general public. I know the comptroller likes to post about me. If you go to his Twitter pages and websites, it's basically all about me. I'm not just living rent-free in his brain. I think I have a permanent condo in his medulla oblongata, but such is life. In the meantime, we're going to continue doing what's in the best interest of the greater public. I'd ask that he does the same, because when he doesn't do that, he's basically telling the public, do whatever you want. It's all false. It's all fake. And that's wrong, because it's creating a false sense of security in individuals who are then putting themselves at risk to catching COVID-19, potentially having a serious illness and dying. And as a public official, it's disappointing when you see anybody do that. As I said, 2 days ago, I was on a phone call with another Democrat and two Republicans, and we all had the same message. We are in this together. We need to work together. This is not an issue of Democrats or Republicans. This is an issue of government and Americans coming together to protect one another. And I would just hope that the county comptroller, as an American, would realize that we are all in this together and we need to work together to get through this pandemic as best as possible. WKBW.
No, it's Dan. If I can ask a question.
Sure. All the ones will just only get one question in the second round. Go ahead.
Okay. So on this contact tracing, Mark, and maybe this is a better question for the health commissioner,
why can't you release specific data on whether these businesses are spreading the virus? These business owners that are shut down want it, they're confused, and no one has presented any data that shows that they should have been closed down, not even the governor today.
Well, I'll note that we've had we don't basically reveal data associated with individual businesses because we know one release of a data point could lead to the destruction of that business in the long run. And it's not always fair because we don't always get, if somebody went to a particular hairstylist and was COVID-19 positive, and we announced that hairstylist was COVID-19, location had a COVID-19 positive case, we're not also certain 100% that it was spread there, but we will list it as a place of close contact. So we try to rely on the science, and the science has shown that there are super spreader events that can occur at gyms, barbershops, beauticians, and the state has made a determination with regards to setting the goals as to what is going to be the yellow zone, what is going to be the orange zone. It's as simple as that. WKBW.
Sorry.
Yes, hi. This is Hannah Bueller. I know of many people who have reached out to us looking to get tested by Erie County. Someone who actually even called today to the county and was told by the representative on the phone that there's a serious testing backlog. They said to call back on Saturday or Sunday for a possible appointment next week. My question is, again, with testing and people that need to be tested, where are they to go then at that point?
Well, first, Hannah, people should contact their doctor. There's many other testing sites available. The county has limited testing. There were over 40,000 tests that were performed in Erie County last week, and we did about 1,500 of them. So we did a very small percentage of them. And I think it's a misnomer for people to say only the county is testing. We've been testing about the same amount because that's all we have the capability of doing in a week with our lab and with the rapid tests, which we used to have, but there's no rapid tests anymore because there's a shortage nationwide. So we do have a certain amount that we can do per week, but there are many other locations. I had somebody call me recently saying the state is backed up. Everyone's backed up. I would first recommend that someone call their doctor. If you're sick and you're looking to get tested, call your doctor. Your doctor's office might actually be able to do the testing. Or your doctor's office will write you a script potentially to go to a lab like Quest or LabCorp to have the actual procedure done. So before you call anyone, you should call your doctor. And your doctor can help you navigate the testing issues. Now, shortage of tests, availability is not just a regional problem. It is everywhere. I talked to my fellow county executives and they're saying the same thing, is that we have so many people seeking tests right now and we have a limited amount of capacity to provide. I mean, 40,000 tests being done in our region or in Erie County a week is a lot. I mean, that is a lot, especially considering earlier in the year when we were happy if we got 1,000 tests done in a week. But Erie County only does about 1,500 of the 40,000. You can call our 858-2929 number, but that doesn't mean you're gonna get a test the next day. It's all going to be based on availability. I do recommend that if you are sick, you should call your doctor first so your doctor can talk to you about the necessary steps you should take. And your doctor might be able to write a prescription to you to get a test at a lab that could be closer to your house than actually anything that the county offers.
Okay. Can I just follow up on that? I'm sorry. This person did call their doctor. Their doctor recommended going to a WellNow Urgent Care or Western New York Immediate Care. I'm not sure if you are aware, those do cost. They're at least $100 or more. So, I mean, just for folks who are listening, doctors especially, I mean, should they write you a script, I guess, for Quest, and do those locations cost? Are the Erie County and New York State the only ones that are free?
To my knowledge, the only ones that are free are Erie County and New York State. But
it's going to cost people at least $100 to get a COVID.
Well, I don't know that. You're saying that, but I don't know that to be true. If you have health insurance, almost all health insurance will cover it if it was prescribed by a doctor. Everyone is supposed to have health care now with regards to the Affordable Care Act. So if the person has health insurance, in all likelihood, their health insurance would cover their tests. We've talked with the hospital CEOs, but we've also talked with the CEOs of the health care insurers, and they guarantee that if a doctor wrote a prescription for a test, they would cover it. So I'm not certain about the cost associated with any one location, but I do know that almost all health insurance will cover it. We'll go back to Ethan Powers of B News. Do you have any more questions, Ethan?
All set for today, Mark. Thanks.
Thanks. Michael Baggerman, WBEN, as I just knocked off a piece of my podium here.
Hey, Mark, as you fix that, my question is regarding the data. You've been talking about how you don't want to identify any single businesses, but can't the county broadly release data that says, okay, X amount of gyms in Erie County have been contacted by contact tracers or a certain number of hair salons? I don't think anyone's asking you to identify them, but just say this is how many gyms have been identified as a source where somebody with coronavirus has been. Can the county do that?
I'd have to talk to the folks in the Department of Health and the contact tracers. Dr. Burstein's shaking her head no. But I know right now our number one goal with our contact tracers is to actually talk to individuals, not necessarily, and get the information from the individuals so we can identify who tested positive, who they were around, so we can then talk to those individuals and let them know that they were exposed to an individual who tested positive. And if you're a barbershop or if you're a gym, you would have gotten one of those calls in all likelihood. Some have. I haven't said all have. And that's why I'm sure there's a lot of them that are out there that are saying, I haven't gotten a call. And they haven't probably gotten a call, but some have. And I think it's important that we understand that we're following the rules that are in place based on New York State to protect the general public. We have a global pandemic that is getting worse. More than 250,000 of Americans have died. 771 of those were Erie County residents. We expect that number to continue to go up. I hope it doesn't meet four digits in Erie County and we hit over 1,000, but it's possible. Based on the rate of new cases, it's possible it could happen. And we're doing everything possible to ensure that that number regarding the deaths and the serious hospitalizations is as low as possible. WBFO,
can Dr.
Mike,
explain why the county can't release that data though?
We're just gonna move on, Michael. Mike Mrosiak, WBFO.
Yeah, Mark, just want to see if you had a comment for this. I learned about an hour and a half ago, legislature Minority Leader Joe Lurigo clocked a resolution that would seek the $15,000 fine at the summary to be waived. Just want to get your comment on this resolution. To the question, should it be waived?
I was already asked that question. I don't know if you heard, Michael, but we do not believe that the legislature has the power to waive something without the request from the actual county administration. There is a process in place so that Athletes Unleashed could file basically an appeal. They have a certain number of time until December to do that. It was included in the documentation that was provided to them, and we'll go with the process. But I know the legislature it would first have to pass it, and it was proposed by the minority, and there's a reason why they're minority, because the majority of the people of Erie County chose legislators in the Democratic Party to lead them rather than the minority. There's a process in place, and my understanding is they can't waive it unless it's actually been proposed and requested by the county administration to waive it in the first place. Buffalo
Thank
News.
You.
You're welcome. Buffalo News.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned earlier that some zip codes have a quarter to a third spread within the household. Can you share which zip codes those are? And then just a clarification question. Your slide about the daily positivity rate as of 11/23 saying it was 7.9%. That I'm looking at the state website right now, and that doesn't match up with the state's numbers, and I'm just trying to figure out which one is right.
Well, we're first off, with regards to the second portion of the question, the daily positivity rate, we do our numbers based on the data that we get from New York State. We do know that New York State, and I explained this yesterday to one of your fellow reporters, Sandra, they do not announce numbers on a daily basis that are a 24-hour, one-day period. So when we announced the numbers like we did for the 23rd, that was from midnight to 11:59 p.m. It's my understanding the state goes from basically 2 p.m. to 2 p.m. I don't know why, or 2 p.m. to 1:59 p.m., but ours is the actual day. So we do it the day, the state does a 24-hour period announcing it on a particular day. We are trying to get further confirmation as to why there sometimes are discrepancies. We clean up our data, make sure there's no duplicates. Sometimes we get a big dump of data that maybe the state won't get until they renounce it for the next day. So there is issues associated with that. And you have to remind me the other portion of your question.
But the zip codes with zip codes. To one-third spread?
Yeah, I would say take a look at the highest zip codes, and those are your ones that are the biggest problems with regards to 25% to 33% of the cases are individuals associated with households. Spectrum, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, Mark, just a quick one. It sounds from what I've heard from you that you wouldn't expect the county to go to a red zone on Friday, just passing over that. With the school districts, with some of the colleges going to fully remote through Christmas, do you have any recommendations for what the K through 12 school districts should be doing during this holiday season right now?
Well, I do not expect it to go red by Friday, part of your first question. And as I said on Monday, I have requested from New York State to basically provide a waiver of testing from K through 8, but requiring testing in high school, 9 through 12, because we know those are the ones that are most at risk for catching it and transmitting it to others. That is not to say there hasn't been cases of transmission in schools. We are aware of that. But I have made a request to New York State to modify the guidelines with regards to testing. It is in New York State's hands whether or not they will change it. I think it's in the best interest of all of us to ensure that we have a good grasp of what's going on in the community by testing the right sample sizes, so to speak. I'm not as worried with regards to colleges now because they're going to be out, but we are still worried about schools and the possibility for transmission. But we know there's a much greater chance, it seems like, in the older age brackets. Channel 2, any other questions? Claudine or Kelly?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Channel 4.
Mark, back to this contact tracing again. There's clearly a lack of transparency with it. We've got a business owner in Orchard Park who said he's going to open by Monday because he has no data that shows that gyms are a problem. You're telling us that you've got the data. Why can't you release the data in a basic form like Mike asked? Why can't the health department do that? That's not a HIPAA rule.
Dan, I said this is a state rule. I don't know what's happening in other parts of the state. The state has made a determination. It's not as if this is just Erie County saying only Erie County is closing gyms in an orange zone. There are orange zones all across New York State, including now in Monroe County, and throughout a good portion of the downstate area have now orange zones, as well as parts of the southern tier. This is a state rule. It's as simple as that.
But you represent the county.
Yes, I do.
And county residents want to see this data.
Well, that's
We have
data provided to us by individuals from contact tracers.
Right.
That data is in individualized files. I'll get anecdotal information saying we think we have a case associated with a barbershop. We think we have a case associated with a gym. You're asking me to explain why New York State has made a determination as it pertains for all of New York State. You forget. Counties are subdivisions of New York State. The sheriff could be removed by the governor if he so chooses. And there's not a thing the sheriff could do because New York State grants the governor the power to do that because counties are parts of New York State. So we are working under the auspices of the rules that are in place. And I'll just leave it at that. Final to Channel 7, any more questions?
Yes, one last question. We understand it was recommended that you have a security detail, the Erie County Sheriff's Office, providing armed guards to you specifically. Just your thoughts on why you feel that this was a needed step.
Well, I will note this. We've had security in the past based on threats made against me. So I'll just leave it at that.
Can you just confirm or deny that you've had threats this time around?
All you got to do is check out my social media, but there's other things that we've had. So at this time of Thanksgiving, I would certainly hope that the people of our community would come together and be united as one so that we can address the global pandemic. Not everybody is happy about the rules, and I'm certainly in a position where I am the county executive and I have to enforce the rules. I also have powers associated with what we do as county officials, and not everybody agrees with what we do, so some people are a little bit more active in their critique of me and the actions that I take. I'm, as I said, with regards to the protests in front of my house, I don't object to protesters. If they want to protest me, they have a right to do it. I certainly would hope they would, if they're going to protest, they do it in such a manner where they're not putting other people at risk because they're wearing masks. But when it steps over the line and we receive information that leads us to believe that there's a credible threat out there, you have to provide security, and we do that for anyone. We would do that for any county official, just like we do it for other officials as needed. Unfortunately, I'm not the only county executive in the United States who's had to deal with this lately, just like mayors have had to deal with it. You may have seen recently there appears to have been a credible threat made against the mayor, such that a charge was made against an individual. We live in very heated times. And harking back to what President-elect Biden just said, we need to realize we're all Americans and come together to address what is the crisis of our times. I thought snowstorms were bad. Snowstorms are easy compared to this. We lost, I think, 15 individuals during Winter Storm Knife, and we've lost 771 individuals as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. We are working together as best as we can to protect the general public. This is what it's about. It's about protecting the general public. Economies can recover. Dead people can't. And we need to do what's best for all of us to ensure that we keep down the deaths in our community so that next year, when it's Thanksgiving, we can all come together and be thankful for the actions that we've taken in the last year to save as many lives as possible. So to the people of Erie County, I want to thank you for all that you've done so far. I want to thank the businesses who've had to endure a lot. Some people's dreams have been destroyed. I understand that, and it is sad. But I also want to thank everyone for acting appropriately in the common good so that we could get through this as best as possible. I hope that you're all safe and well, that you all have a very happy Thanksgiving, and if you can't be with the loved ones that you want, give them a call, do a little Zoom meeting, FaceTime, talk to them, tell them you love them, tell them that we are separated this Thanksgiving so that we could be together next Thanksgiving. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and most importantly, be safe and well. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!